Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Live from the ESPN Lincoln Studios, this is the Ben Hooks Show with your host, Bill Hooks.
I should just try to get the ball in one shot every time.
With guest host, Hugh Malone.
They've always said that two wrongs don't make a right, but technically, three left turns make a right.
Welcome back into Hooks and Friends. Hope everyone's having a great thirsty Thursday out there. Check the weather. It is absolutely beautiful. Our next guest is probably going to come on and tell us all about how beautiful it always is where he is.
Down in Gilbert, Arizona.
Never a dull day. Never not a beautiful sunrise and a sunset, by the way. And he can tell you all about them because there's, telling you what, there's not a better place in America to see a sunset than in Arizona. I'm telling you right now. Henry T. Buchanan in the house. What's up, my man?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? And you're absolutely correct. 90% of the year is blue skies and sunny, and even during the winter. So I thoroughly enjoy this the sunset, the sunrise, and that's why we live out here in Arizona. Love it.
Good. Hey, T, I heard through the grapevine you got to correspond a little bit with Mama Bear Malone. And she's all excited. She's like, I hope he knows where all the go to places are for all the Husker events, stuff like that. So she was really excited about that. Is there, you know, whether it's basketball or football, or are there a lot of any alumni get-togethers, or are you one of those guys that would rather watch the games, you know, by yourself so you can throw stuff at the TV?
Oh no, definitely. I try to hit the some of the Husker bars, and actually, Mama Malone actually reached out to me and asked about the baseball because, you know, of course, Coach Erstad was had a little setup out here for quite a few years and some preseason tournaments and get some pretty good talented teams like Oregon State, Oregon, and teams of that sort was coming out here every year about this time to play. But unfortunately, with this COVID, and of course, Erstad decided to retire and. So we're not having that this year, and but kind of missed that.
T, I'm gonna, before we talk about basketball, I'm gonna ask you a question. That intro song you came into, "Return of the Mac."
Yes.
So that was mine, and usually when you have those, that you get it now. It's yours now, by the way. Don't we usually have a discussion like a jersey swap, some kind of payment?
I have plenty of jerseys and shorts and things of this sort, so trust me. And it's funny you say that about that Return to Mac, because I reached out to one of my lady friends and one of my cousins, and it was kind of funny because I had talked to my cousin about it. Hey, they kind of talked about an interest song, and he said, well, what if you do, don't use the school song? And I said, actually, I did ask for the school song, and he said, well, Hey, try Return of the Mac. And then I said, okay. So I just kind of thought about it. So then I talked to my lady friend. I said, what's your thoughts on the intro song? And then she just actually just played it on her phone, the exact same song. I said, oh, man, I have to go with this. So I reached out to Matt. So it kind of worked out for me.
That's awesome. It is definitely fitting, my friend. It's definitely fitting. Hey, jumping into Husker hoops, obviously, I'm going to be on the positive side a lot coming up with this because – when you look the other night, one Teddy Buckets went out and got his the other night. 41 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. And he shot 16 of 24 from the field. When you watch it, tied a bunch of records, or took some. Most points scored in a half by a Husker of 28. Also tied Alex March's home scoring total of 41. Missed out on the all-time scoring by one with Mr. Eric Piekowski getting that done down in Kansas City. When you watch that performance, man, how did it make you feel? And what are your thoughts on Teddy Buckets?
you know, I was very impressed. You know, early on, I questioned some of his shot selections in some of the games, and I was wondering, does he have the ability to shoot like that? Then watching this game the other day, and I don't know if y'all remember at the beginning of the game, I mean, he really took his time and really let the game come to him. He was sharing the ball, and then Penn State made a quick run, and it seemed like Teddy said, it's my time. And he really took over in that first half and kept us close. And as I was watching, I'm texting with Bo and, a few of the Huskers, and we like, wait a minute, Teddy Buckets is getting it done. And we were exchanging buckets, and, of course, Eric Piekowski's on this text as well, but he never made a comment.
He was worried about that record,
sweating it out.
Yes, sir. So we got towards the end, and then Teddy did. He forced a couple at the end, but for the right reasons, because he's definitely trying to win the game. And I thought that was a game that we were going to get, and that was one of the games I kind of predicted, and unfortunately it didn't work out for us. But kudos to him. I was a critic early on, and man, after watching him play the other night, man, golly, this guy can score. And I'd like to see more of that. And, in addition to that, I'd like to see more of his teammates step up as well, like Teddy does, and play with that confidence.
T, I'm not going to necessarily be the opposite and be the negative, but I want to point out some things that I thought were very deficient that I saw during the game. And obviously, you being a guard and a ball handler, I'm sure a couple of these things really made you cringe. I noticed that it just we do a very good job of making some excellent passes to people that wearing a different colored jersey than our own. And one of the other things that just drives me crazy is I watch the guys, maybe they're not necessarily always penetrating to the rack, but just during the ball movement that they tend to drive into traffic and pick up their dribble. With no plan when they pick up their dribble. Did you notice that at all, too?
Well, I've been noticing that throughout the season. I kind of look up some stats, and right now we're averaging 13-plus turnovers a game, and we need to have that under 10, at least under 10. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those turnovers are unforced. Just the passing and not really paying attention to where the defender is. So it's not even pressure on some of the passes. And I do agree, and I think I mentioned this last week, the dribble, the James Harden syndrome, where we're putting the ball on the ground and really doesn't have any type of idea where you're going to go with it and what's your next step. Because if you don't beat the guy off the dribble, because normally you're dribbling to score. But it appears to me that when they're making a dribble, they dribble into a spot and then they get a little pressure and then they're trying to get rid of the ball and it's just not working out for them. And like I said, I mean, we need to get our turnovers at least under 10 per game. Like I said, right now we're at 13 plus, and that's just not a good look, especially with our team, because we're struggling right now. We still have 5 games left and going to Illinois tonight, and that's going to be tough. And Illinois definitely put pressure on the guards and the big men, and they have size.
Hey, T, talk to me through the psyche of an athlete that is struggling with confidence or the way they're playing. Because obviously we saw Trey McGowan's go through that through a stretch. He openly and Coach Hubbard talked about the confidence wasn't there. We're kind of seeing it right now with Delano Banton. Now just played his single lowest minutes of the entire season, 13 minutes, doesn't score. What is that like psyche-wise? And then how do you overcome that? It's almost like you know you've got it, but instead of extending that jump shot out and flicking that wrist, it kind of becomes the alligator arm a little bit more than normal.
Well, it's kind of a mindset, because we all go through slumps. Had the best of all time, Michael Jordan, I've seen him go through slumps. So that means you got to just go in that gym and put in some more time, before and after practice, just each and every day, and I would even say this, that team, you got a lot of individual talent, and sometimes they play individually instead of as a team, and sometimes you need your team to pick you up as well and encouraging you and not getting down on you, and you not getting down on yourself, because it's going to come back, because Batten is a solid player. I mean, how many times you see a 6'9 point guard, and I think I mentioned last week he's a mismatch waiting to happen. you know, because he handles the ball too well, too fast for the big guys. He's too big for the small guys. And I would like to see Coach Hoiberg utilize him a little bit more on the offensive end from an aggressive standpoint. Maybe take the ball out of his hands and let McGowan handle it, and then utilize him a little bit different because he does handle the ball a lot, and he's trying to figure out picking and choosing when he should take a shot and when he should pass it. And then, you know, maybe taking the ball out of his hands may help him out, you know, just from a mental standpoint, and maybe ask him to score and kind of pick up a little bit where Teddy's may drop off a little bit from time to time. So,
hey, Henry, the team heads to number 5, Illinois tonight. I'm curious, yikes. You know, when you were playing with Nebraska, what was your mentality and the team's mentality heading into a road game, you know, up against a top-ranked opponent like that?
Well, it's kind of a funny story, but a true story. I would never forget when we would play a KU, Oklahoma, Mizzou, or teams of that sort. And I never forget we would go out for warm-ups, and then we would go inside right before the announcement of the starting five. So we'd go in for a few minutes and go over some final scouting reports and things of that sort. And Coach Knee would look at us, and he would just flat out tell us, from what I've seen out there, and I'm looking you in your eyes, you're either going to get beat by 5 or you're going to get beat by 40. And he would challenge us. And we would look at each other, is this coach serious? But it was a motivated, he knew how to push the buttons. So for these games like KU, Oklahoma, and Mizzou and things of that sort, we would come out fired up because we wanted to prove the coach wrong. He just said, we're going to get beat by 40. We're going to show him. And then we just go out there, and then, of course, playing in front of your fans, like I said, that's an automatic 10 points. And then and if we're in the game with the last 5 minutes of the game, it's over. And, I mean, we're going to win that game. So it's and it's going to be the same thing down in Illinois in Champaign. You don't have the fans there. So take advantage. We play them tough here. We should have beat them. You know, we let them get back at the last couple of minutes of the game. And but I think we have our opportunity, and Illinois knows that we can play with them. And a lot of teams play with Illinois, but they're still fifth in the country, got size, got great guard play. And but individually, I think we can match up with any team in the conference.
We're talking with Henry T. Buchanan, Husker basketball legend. The McDonald's All-American teams came out, this past week. I know you know we've talked to you quite a bit about the excitement of Bryce McGowan's getting here next year. A lot of us around here think he might have got snubbed as far as, you know, maybe some politics go into choosing that team. Help me out because I honestly don't remember. Did they have that back when you were in school? And how big of a thing, you know, an honor is it getting named to a team like that? And also, before I get, I know you brought up MJ. You ever played against him or crossed paths with him?
No, I haven't, but Carl Hayes did. And matter of fact, speaking of, I think I mentioned this last week, Carl Hayes and DePriest Owens were both top 100 ESPN players at that time, and that was right after me. And there's a story that Carl Hayes used to open up a gym, and actually he made it to the last cut for the Bulls after his senior year, but he played against Michael Jordan pickup basketball game. And from what I heard, and this came from Tracy Webster, who is a former assistant coach here at Nebraska that played at Wisconsin, that witnessed this. And I guess Carl Hayes pretty much gave MJ everything he wanted and more. And I guess it was so bad that MJ talked to Carl, and I call him big time, and they call him Skull back in Chicago because he's known as the scorer, and he begged Carl to come back because, you know, Michael MJ does not like anybody getting the best of him. So, you know, I can talk on behalf of Carl Hayes, but personally, no, best player I've played against is, of course, Danny Manning and Mitch Richmond of, the Big 8 and, you know, the Johnson. Richard Dumas and all those guys, and the Band-Aid man. You know, we had some very talented players in our league, Harvey Grant, and we were loaded top to bottom. But as far as I would have loved to try to play against MJ, but that would have been a tall task for anyone.
Hey, to set up this next question, I'm supposed to ask Thew. What was the greatest thing you accomplished in high school sports?
Oh, jeez. T,
I think we heard it already.
Yeah,
this morning,
T, when you listen to this podcast, you have to listen to the first section again. And I told these guys about how I was on JV as a sophomore, and we got really bored. And the last home game, me and another kid who were the last on the bench, we actually followed through with it, and we had pizza delivered to the bench. And we were down there eating pizza, and the coach was so angry, he sent me up to the sent me into the game, and I came to the scorer's table shoving a breadstick in my mouth as I get up there. We always want to hear a fun and interesting story every week when you come on. And what was maybe something strange or funny that happened while you were on the team?
Well, I would tell you this: I was fortunate enough to play against the great Jack Moore in high school, and Jerry Shoecraft. We're all seniors at the time, but I went to the military for 6 years while they went straight to Nebraska to play. And of course, you know, I didn't have a great high school career, if any. And I was pretty much like you, Matt. I was a kind of a bench warmer, to be honest, kind of a minute man. And Jerry Shoecraft tells this story to anybody who wants to hear it. Of course, he embellishes it, and it gets better every time he tells it. But there was a time when we were playing, and of course, Muncie Central, the school that Jack and Jerry played for, and I was at Muncie South, that, you know, they were handling us. They were up like 20 or something like that. And this is how Jerry tells it. And he saw me at the scorer's table trying to get in the game. So he says he intentionally fouled someone to stop the clock because he wanted to get his friend, which is me, into the game. He said once he saw a little teardrop come down my eyes that this guy really wanted to get in the game, I need to act. So that's the story that Jerry Shoecraft tells, which is, you know, I'm not going to say he's far from the truth, but no, I didn't have really a high school career. I kind of developed in the military, and then Larry Brown was at KU at the time, and my Air Force coach knew Larry from New York, and Larry sent me to a JUCO in Hutch, and that's how I teamed up with Derek Vick and Coach Bargan, and that's how we ended up in Nebraska. So from a high school perspective, you know, and if we ever can get Jerry Shoecraft on this, the radio station, he tells a little bit better than I do.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, T, I want to ask you, college basketball in general, that's probably my favorite sport. I never played it, but I love watching college basketball. Are you similar to that? I know we're all Husker fans, or myself being a Tar Heel fan, I'm severely disappointed in the performance they had last night. We won't go there. But how excited do you get this time of the year? Do you follow bracketology and the bubble teams and get excited for all that stuff?
Oh, absolutely. College basketball is my life. You know, and I watch it day in and day out. Any games, I watch the Creighton games. I watch all the Big Ten games. And I tell you what, at State Farm for years when I was still living in Lincoln, I used to run, which is illegal. I know folks try to say it wasn't, but, you know, the old basketball pools. And we used to look forward to those basketball pools. And I used to have the top five finishers, the top five would win money or some change. And I never finished, but we always had three ladies would finish, either win it or three of the top five would win it. And you would ask them how much you knew about basketball. No, I just like the colors. I like the name.
Yep,
and
the jersey, the mascot.
So-called experts, none of us could ever finish in the top five, but I look forward to it. We used to have a March Madness parties, the Big Eight tournament. Continue that. Yeah. Forward to this time of year. It's the best time of the year. March Madness, man, you can't beat it.
Hey, T, I want to pick your brain a little bit about, you know, how obviously basketball for the youth has changed, you know, since we played. And
nope. Ah. Did we lose
him?
All right, we'll get him back. Let's try to get him back. He must be on
back.
The travel.
We got a few more minutes, but
yeah, that's going to be a good
You know, question. That hey, he brought up a good point. I think that would be fun sometime. Well, former councilman and Husker legend Jerry Shoecraft, and I'm sure he'll verify a few of those stories. And
as Bo did on the free throw.
Yes,
right?
He did. Yeah, he didn't deny it too, but obviously Jerry will probably have some stories of his own. But, you know, it's great anytime you get to talk to some of these guys. And, you know, it's the one thing that is consistent throughout, you know, even just my remembering is just the passion for Husker basketball. So do we got him back?
We got him back.
Sorry about that, fella.
I don't know if you walked into your library there or your cigar den or
it's called a study.
The study.
Well, I got a brand new phone at T-Mobile, man. I'm gonna have to go talk to him about this.
Well, you should be a friend. But if it's called T-Mobile, you should be getting some royalties there. I'm just saying.
I'll give you some advice on that later on.
we've got Husker basketball legend Henry T. Buchanan. T, wanted to talk to you a little bit about the paths that are afforded the youth today. I know when I played, obviously, you know, at once high school season was over, we'd go play like summer Y ball and stuff like that. I don't remember there being AAU. And what do you think the AAU circuit has done? It just, to me, it seems like they just go out and just play a bunch of games and see who can score the most points. It's almost like open gym. I personally don't see a lot of instruction there, but I want to get your take on what the AAU looks like from your point of view.
I think a couple of weeks ago, I think I mentioned this. I think AAU hurts college basketball because it's providing false promises to a lot of these younger players. Some of them, they just overdo it and do it for selfish reasons. And I can't speak to anybody specifically or talk about anybody specifically, but I've watched AAU over the years and how the kids play and they stack these teams and they get these scouts to come watch these kids play and it's all about being one and done. You know, everybody's dream is to make it in the NBA. Nobody's thinking about going to college, getting an education and enjoying the 4 years of your college life and really educating yourself. And then not everybody, you got less than 1% is going to make it to the NBA anyway. And I just think some of these coaches are doing it just for profitability. You know, they may get Nike or Adidas to sponsor a team, and unfortunately, with some of these schools, they make contact with, and sometimes it's all about the money. You know, give me something, and I make sure my kid go to your school. And a lot of these big time programs take full advantage of that. You know, and that's one thing I appreciate about University of Nebraska. And I don't know what the stat is, but I know Coach Knee's 14-year tenure, I'm pretty sure he had over 90% graduating percentage as far as academics are concerned. But I think AAU just hurts. I think it hurts the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right along with you on that. Hey, I want to ask you one more, man. We appreciate your time, man, as always. A couple of days ago, sports world got rocked a little bit with the news of Tiger Woods. And his God bless that he's alive. His kids still have dad around. Don't even care about the golf situation right now for him. But give me your thoughts when you first started reading those reports and maybe another time when something like that. Obviously, it happened almost over a year ago as well when you got the news of Kobe Bryant. But has there ever been another time that sports world got shocked like that?
Well, you know, that was difficult to hear, and it's just like Kobe, you know, the news of Kobe. But it has happened. There's been a couple NBA players, and I can't really think of, it was two of them. One played for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and one played for, I think it was Charlotte Hornets, and they both passed away through automobile accidents. And it's just tragic because, you know, sometimes you feel like these professional athletes are superhuman and untouchable. And when you hear about what happened to Tiger, you know, as far as, and I just saw this morning that the sheriff said it was an accident. It was no drugs, alcohol involved. And it's just one of those accidents that occurs. And it's just, you know, and it just kind of brings back to reality that it can happen to anyone, and it puts your life in perspective. And like you said, you know, the kids, you know, still have their dad. But then again, you got a lot of folks that look up to Tiger, and, you know, even you don't have to even go to the professional level. You just go just day to day people, man. That's accident's going to happen, and not every day is promised, man. So appreciate every day that you have in this life, man, and always try to make a difference.
Was that very similar? You said that you played against Jack Moore in high school when that news broke. You know, obviously when he was in that plane crash.
Yeah, so that was tough. You know, and I played more against Jack, like at the Y, back in Muncie, Indiana. You know, and one thing that I did get from the University of Nebraska that I'm very, very proud of is I received the MVP, which is named after Jack, and I have it in my Husker room hanging on the wall, so I get the opportunity to think about Jack and how good he was. You know, and I, you know, he's one of the best that come through Indiana and also that played at the University of Nebraska. I know Jerry Shoecraft and I sometimes have a debate because I'm a Brian Carr fan because I played with him, and so I played with Brian and against Jack, and I always give Jerry Shoecraft a hard time and say, hey, you know, Brian Carr, man, he might have given it to Jack, but that's just neither here nor there, though. They were both great.
Hey, Henry, I want to go back to tonight. We're taking on Illinois. And Illinois, they got beat, upset by Michigan State Tuesday night. So everyone's, you know, saying they're mad coming into this one. They're angry. Is that something that you guys thought about as a team? You know, did you guys keep tabs on teams losing and, you know, maybe you had to play them the next, you know, in a few days? Is that something you guys thought about?
Oh, definitely. And then you got to think about Izzo, too. I mean, Michigan State and Coach Izzo, one of the greatest coaches of all time, mm-hmm. does this every year. They always had they slow at the start, and then all of a sudden when it gets close to the turn of the time, his team is gelling and chemistry. So I'm not surprised. I think they don't want the last two or three in a row. And back when we were playing, heck yes, we look, you know, OU happened to be upset, man. You don't want to deal with Mookie Blaylock and Harvey Grant, mm-hmm. those guys, and Stacey Keen, and definitely with the Mitch Richmonds and the Danny Mannings of the world that you know, they need to win. They're ranked in the top 10, top 15 in the country. And at that time, heck, I think OU was like in the top three. If not 2-1 at the time. So, yeah, you know, definitely. And you want to think about their psyche, you know, when they're coming in or we're going there beforehand. And then again, that's when Coach Knee would always look us in the eye and say, looks like y'all going to get beat by 30-35, you know. And we'll look at each other and say, okay, we got something to prove. But then again, you know, then also your opponents is thinking the same way, that we got to get this one, and, you know, we let one get away, and we're not going to let Nebraska come in and upset us.
T-Man, we know your time is valuable, man. We're blessed that you are taking the time to spend it with us every Thursday. Stay safe out there, man, and we'll catch up real soon.
Oh, thank you, and I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. That was Henry T. Buchanan, Husker legend. Always a great time on the show. Now we get to spend it with us every Thursday.
Well, it's very unique, and I'm, you know, a lot of the alumni do, but obviously with T living down there in Gilbert, Arizona, here's a guy that doesn't miss a game. You know, nope. Whether it's on the radio or on the TV, he knows exactly what's going on down there. Makes it back. He's still very involved with the team.
He's part of this community, man.
Oh yeah, and he knows all the stats. I mean, you wouldn't know the guy lives 2,000 miles away from the epicenter.
And the stories are amazing.
They are. So well worth it.
Yep, good stuff there. Coming up in the second hour, we're going to talk. We're going to have What's Winning at 10. We're going to talk some NFL. Will and I was exchanging some stuff that has been brewing in the NFL, in the quarterback market. It could blow your mind a little bit. That and a whole lot more.